The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to him, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was from before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, I presume most of you will be aware that earlier today, the Holy Father completed a two-day visit to Ireland, and I just came back from there on Wednesday evening. And by the way, it's nice to be back again and to see you all. But it was a very difficult visit for our Holy Father, and I'm very aware of why it was very difficult. So I want to, for a few moments, just personally talk about the situation in Ireland and here and many other countries at the moment, because I just feel, for me personally, will be cathartic, and just to tell you how I feel. Ireland, the church in Ireland at the moment, as it many other places, is in, I suppose, for the use of a better phrase, it's in turmoil. And so it fits in with the gospel this evening, and we'll come back to the question again. Are you too going to walk away? Or as Jesus said to the apostles, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? On the whole question of child sexual abuse and the abuse of vulnerable adults, I feel very bad about that, as I'm sure you do. And there are many, many victims of abuse. You can divide it into two categories. There's the primary victims of abuse, and they are the people who are actually abused, whether they're young or old. And then there's the secondary victims of abuse, and I am a secondary victim of abuse, very much so. And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. It's very sad, I feel, and I spent a long time talking to Monsignor about it this afternoon, and he feels the same. It's very sad that when people say to me, what do you do? I'm almost reluctant to say, I'm a priest. That's sad. I feel that's sad. Why am I feeling like that? Why am I? Why am I suddenly feeling embarrassed to say that I'm a priest. So I got to do something about that. I feel if I say to people, I'm a priest, I'm going to be immediately, especially in Ireland, I'm going to be looked at. I wonder if he's one of them. And if, as a priest, you were to walk down any street in Ireland, and especially in any big city, and you were wearing a collar, well, anything could happen to you. You could be called a paedophile, which is not very, very nice. You might be spat at. Somebody might push into you and shove you. You wouldn't feel very comfortable on public transport if you're wearing a collar in Ireland at the moment. Sad. It's very sad. And I don't know, and I hope not, but if anybody here has been abused, I want you to know that I have just a small idea of the suffering and the pain that you must have gone through. Because as a priest, I have met and come across people who have been abused. And believe me, the pain and the guilt never goes away. You might say, why would they feel guilty? Well, that's part of the abuse. The abuser transfers or transmits the guilt over to the person that they abuse. I'll give you an example, and it's, you won't know who it is. Not very long ago, a 78-year-old woman came to me crying her heart out and said, I've never been able to tell this to anybody. You're the first person I can tell this to. I was abused as a little girl, and I felt so guilty for the last 69 years that I could never, ever go to communion or go to confession. Of course she wasn't guilty, but look what the abuser did to her. I felt very, very privileged that at long last, and I felt a great joy that she could come and share the burden and that I could relieve her of that burden. But I don't think I fully convinced her that she wasn't to blame in no way. That's what the abuser does to people. And we all are secondary victims of abuse. You must be pained when you look at the news on television or you read the papers and the very people you trusted in and that you looked up to have let you down. And I feel that more so as a priest. I feel it more so as a priest. So I have to ask myself, well, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? That's the question in the gospel this evening. What are we going to do about it? Well, it's nothing new. So look at it from another aspect. Abuse has been going on since time began. There's nothing new under the sun. Human nature doesn't change. The only difference is today we know, even in the time of Christ, people were being abused. Why did Christ say, whoever scandalizes one of these little ones ought to have, it would be better for him if he had a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the deep. So Jesus in his time was aware of people who were abused, sexually abused, physically abused. The only thing different today, and it's a good thing, now we know about it. If you don't know about something, you can't do anything about it, huh? The very same is, if you have a cancer within you, and you don't know about it, you can't do anything about it. But then you go, you have an MRI, or you have a scan, and you find out you got a cancer, so now you can hopefully do something about it. And I feel that's where we are in the church today. So I've had to sit down, look at myself, what am I going to do about it? What can I do about it? A lot. A lot. It's made me think a lot. So I'm going to renew my commitment to Jesus, because in the final analysis, that's what really counts. And we're always going to have challenges in life. It's not a new problem, it's a challenge. We have a challenge at the moment. And the challenge is to do something about it. And rather than talking about it, well, I'm going to renew my commitment. I'm not going to let the sins of a few bring me down. And you got to look at it at that way. Don't let the sins of a few bring us down. But rise up and begin a new life. Begin at this very moment. And we need to stand up today and be counted. We always needed to do that. But I feel that in the past, in the church, and as a priest too, I'm guilty, we became almost too complacent. It was too comfortable. Today we have a challenge. We have a challenge. And now that I have said that to you and I've thought about it, I'm not actually depressed, but I'm renewed. I'm going to do better. I'm going to renew my commitment to Jesus. 54 years ago, when I became a priest, I made a promise. It wasn't to any church authority or to the church. It was to Christ. It was to Jesus. And when you make a commitment to somebody, if you're married, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime commitment. It's an everyday commitment, huh? Right or wrong? You've got to renew that commitment every day, because otherwise you'll go backwards. It's not a static thing, nor are we. We're on a pilgrimage, and we encounter challenges on the way, and we fight against them, and we overcome them. So I'm saying to you that this evening, go out there, stand up, and to the young people here, don't be ashamed of your church. Go out there, stand up, and be proud of it, and let people know God means something to you, means everything to you in your life. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning to save my soul, if it were just to save my soul or to get to heaven, but I can for the love of Jesus, and that's what really matters. And you, if you can do the same, instead of being down and instead of being depressed, you'll have a new joy in your life, and you'll be a renewed person, and people will look at you and they'll want something that you have, and they'll be wondering, what is she on? What is she on? And that's good. So go out there, spread the joy. God loves you, absolutely, as you are. I'm not perfect, none of us are, but isn't that wonderful? God still loves us. So it's a time to renew your commitment. Don't let the media pull you down. Don't let what you read in the newspapers, don't let the sins of a few drag you down. renew your commitment, go out, stand up, be strong, carry on. Amen.